Hello, and welcome to Cloudcast Weekly, a SearchCloudProvider.com podcast. I'm Jessica Scarpati, site editor of SearchCloudProvider.com, and with me in the studio is our assistant editor, Kara Dyer-Menchen, newswriter Gina Narcissi, and features writer Michael Morrissey. Hey guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So let's get into what's new on the site this week. Gina, you had a great news story on green cloud computing and how providers are balancing energy efficiency versus reliability. So why don't you tell us what's going on there?
Thanks, Jessica. So this week I wrote a story on the energy efficient data center and how cloud providers should work to balance the hype of green cloud computing with social responsibility. I interviewed Lex Kors from Interxion, and they have 28 data centers scattered throughout the world. He talked about one data center specifically located in the Netherlands and how they were using the cool air outside to cool the data center, and that's just one of the ways they were trying to be more green, but also taking advantage of renewable resources. There's a lot of pure play cloud providers out there that are working to be more green. A lot of customers are starting to ask for it, but at the same time, they have to remember that even renewable resources can, down the line, they can have an effect on the environment as well. So making that cloud nice and reliable for their customers while just being socially responsible is the goal.
Thanks, Gina. So next we have Kara, who is going to tell us about an interesting column this week that we had from Charles Weaver, CEO of the MSP Alliance, talking about cloud storage pricing. So Kara, why don't you tell us what that was about?
So Charles Weaver was basically telling us about how managed service providers, or MSPs, have typically been fighting a losing battle when it comes to the way they're set their cloud storage prices. These various providers are actually competing with each other, and in the process, they're undercutting each other's rates and devaluing the worth of this particular service, which is a bad idea because managing data and storage solutions is actually one of the most important roles that MSP can play for their customers.
Yeah, I think the phrase used that it was self-defeating, right? That right. They just keep trying to go lower.
Right, so basically they're undercutting each other's value, and the customers are viewing this service as not important or unnecessary, which is actually not the case because it's one of the most important services these providers can offer to their customers.
Great. And Michael, you are working on a piece about software-defined networking and service-level agreements. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the genesis of the piece was I've spoken with a number of cloud providers, and more importantly, I've spoken with a number of enterprises and other customers who are kind of getting more demanding about what they want out of their service provider. You know, after dealing with years of outages on S3 and from Google Apps and particularly the middle tier sort of cloud providers, people are sort of becoming more stringent about what they want in an SLA out of downtime, out of connectivity, and just sort of out of reliability and sort of making sure that what they pay for is what they actually get. And so there's been a kind of a crunch on cloud providers to actually sort of be able to better sort of serve and fulfill their contracts, especially if those contracts get more complicated and more sophisticated. And we were interested in sort of what role did software-defined networking have in all this, sort of so-called network virtualization. Is this actually helping sort of fulfill these goals? And what we found out is that it can really be helpful in sort of three main areas. We spoke a lot with DreamHost, which has kind of been evolving over the past few years from being sort of a traditional shared host or a VPN host to being a cloud host. And as they're sort of making this migration, they said that software-defined networking really helped them sort of better meet their customers' SLAs and sort of the promise that they're making to their customers in three key areas. Network efficiency, if you're able to sort of better route, especially internally, your network traffic and know exactly how many hops it's going to be making, you're much better able to sort of plan, okay, so we're going to have this sort of latency, at least on our own network, and you can then provide that promise to your customers. The second key area was sort of speed of deployment. By having everything sort of be defined virtually, instead of having some sort of cave-dwelling IT guy sort of go in and configure the servers, they can just sort of flip a switch and have a new service deployed instantly. And having that sort of reliability and being able to deploy it programmatically has really helped their sort of speed of deployment and self-service in terms of being able to say, okay, we can offer you the service and it'll instantly turn on or within minutes as opposed to 2 to 3 days. And then finally, DreamHost was really, you know, psyched about sort of the management possibilities that having a software-defined network have. Instead of sort of having us define each little switch and each piece of hardware and understand it, they can sort of look at the network as a whole slice and be able to manage it via console as opposed to have to go in and use a wide variety of tools. They can just sort of flip an API bit and really control it at a much higher level.
So that goes into the whole, like, programmable network idea?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's really what sort of excited DreamHost was. It's sort of treating the network as a piece of software.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. That's it for this week. Be sure to check out all the articles we talked about today and more on searchcloudprovider.com. Thank you for your time, everyone.
Thank you for having us.